All right, let me jump on into the Right Side Way monologue. And this one comes from the heart, y'all. I'll be honest. There's a lot in the news right now about massive numbers of migrants showing up by the busload in cities and towns across the country. Not any more so than what we've seen in the areas right here in our listening audience. Towns like Sylacauga, where my granddaddy grew up. Albertville, just up the road from me on Sand Mountain. Small town, salt-of-the-earth places where Friday night football means Monday bragging rights and the local VFW still holds community hot dog lunches, where the Methodists always beat the Baptists to the restaurant on Sunday after church. Just good folks. Real folks. And for the first time, they're finding themselves feeling insecure in their own communities. And not because they're bad people who don't have a heart for the poor and the downtrodden. Not at all. These are folks who would give the shirt off their backs and bring a meal to the house when their neighbor's sick. The insecurity is based on the fact that they are being forced to be benevolent, forced against their will, to be kind. And that's not how that works. Look, I want to paint you a middle picture, all right? Go with me on this. Just imagine this scenario. Put yourself in what I'm about to describe. Let's say you work hard, you save up, you did all that you could do to establish good credit, and after many years, you build your own dream home. You and your family. It's a beautiful house on a little patch of land. You're surrounded by other beautiful homes. The water's nearby. You got a big deck that looks out over your property. You come home from work in the evenings and enjoy just sitting and watching the sun go down. You have guests that stay there with you occasionally. Friends come over to grill on the deck. You're proud to share what you have and share it with those you invite in. You realize you've been given so much, and your family decides to basically make the house available. You host missionaries. You hold events in your home. You're generous with what you have because you remember where you came from. Every aspect of that house, it's now your home. Every detail is something you planned for, worked for, helped to design, and even contributed somewhat to the construction process. This is your castle, and you feel safe there, and you're comfortable, and you share it willingly, and you feel blessed by it. And then imagine one day you come home from work, and you notice the lights are on inside. The back door is standing open. You can see movement in through the windows. Something's not right here. Cautiously, you walk in the door, and there's strangers sitting on your couch, watching your TV with their feet propped up on your coffee table. Somebody you don't know is in the kitchen standing in front of your open refrigerator eating your food and fixing themselves a meal out of your pantry. Who are these people? And they all just stare at you as if they know you're there, but none of them looks the least bit awkward. It's as if they are somehow entitled to use your house like its own. It's like, then you hear a noise upstairs. You realize you can hear someone in your bathroom running the shower. And then a young man you've never seen before comes down the stairs. He's wearing your favorite shirt. And you look at them all for just 1 second more, and then you shout out, "Who are you people? What are you doing in my house?" But you quickly realize that most of them don't even speak your language until one of them finally says in some broken English, "We came from somewhere else. We were told to come here. We'll just be here a while." And then he stares at you like that's enough, like that says it all. And then you hear a noise, and you look out the kitchen window, and you see tents being set up in your backyard, and your hose is being used to wash somebody else's dog, and you realize you haven't even seen your own dog. You don't know where he is, and your flower beds are being trampled, and folks are picking the tomatoes you've been growing in your garden. Your backyard, the yard you worked for years to be able to buy, that you have tended meticulously, is now being destroyed by 100 people you've never seen before. What in God's name is happening? Now look, not to belabor the storyline too much, but let the descriptive moment that I'm describing to sink in. How would you feel? What would you do? And let's say you don't have any ill will, but it's your house, and now you feel abused and unsafe, so you call the police. But the police tell you they're overwhelmed with similar calls, and you're just going to have to entertain your new guests as best you can. Guests is a word you use for people that are invited. These folks just showed up at your house. Began eating your food, using your bathroom, laying on your couch, camping in your yard. And as you see this, as you hear the sound of a dish breaking in the kitchen and somebody else's kids running through your house and strangers arguing over your TV remote, you suddenly realize that you don't feel peaceful in your own home. And you question whether your life's ever going to be the same. Look, I know that story may seem kind of strange and a bit surreal, kind of like one of those weird dreams where everything makes sense during the dream, but when you wake up, you realize it was all disjointed. But what would you do, though, really? What would you do if your house just became a way station for anybody who wanted to set up shop there? Because, folks, what I just described for you is a micro version of life in big cities and small towns all over America right now. And by the way, it's not just out there, it's right here. in the storyline that I just wove together for you, ramp it up to another level. What if that house was really representative of a whole community or even a state? Or for that matter, what if the house in my story was an analogy for our country? And that open back door, that's our southern border. And the use of our home and the wearing of our clothes and the eating of our food, that's the micro version of what's happening to the resources in America right now as mass migration takes on a new and dangerous level. Look, just in the last few days, small town Alabama joined New York City in struggling to understand and accommodate huge numbers of Biden-Harris migrants they didn't know were coming. It's one thing to be benevolent. It really is. But it's quite another to be forced to be benevolent. Towns like Springfield, Ohio are seeing citizens up in arms as they claim their pets are being eaten and ducks from the park are being cooked. These are waves of people being flown in by the Biden-Harris administration from Haiti, simply dropped off. New York City just started a quiet plan to actually pay illegal immigrants up to $4,000 to please move out of the migrant shelters because the Big Apple's decaying and they can't sustain it. Recent reports from the NYPD indicate that 75% of all crime in Manhattan is being committed by illegal immigrants. You've all heard that in Aurora, Colorado, a town that, by the way, did resist its neighbor Denver's push to be a sanctuary city, they are now dealing with Venezuelan gangs taking over whole apartment complexes and terrorizing citizens. The Federation for American Immigration Reform reports that English as a second language now costs American school systems up to $60 billion a year. An estimated 16.8 million illegal aliens are currently in the U.S. as of last year. The city of El Paso recently reported it spent over $20 million just in general aid, representing a 347% increase in spending for that one city. Every statistic I just read you is only going to get worse unless a change is made. Our house is in disarray. But let me remind you of another part of the story. Remember the part I said about being the generous homeowner? The one that was willing to share his home with others and fed others when they were guests and opened his doors to those he could serve? Look, that's another micro-analogy of the United States. On the world stage, we have built our home and yet we have never been exclusive of others. This is the most generous and giving country on the earth, perhaps in the history of the earth. We provide aid, we host others, we bring them into our hospitality, and we have always done so willingly because that's a part of who we are. It's something to be proud of. But currently, under the Biden-Harris administration's forced effort, our generosity is being abused. In the story I just told you, the homeowner's generosity was not able to be extended anymore to other people because it was still too busy being abused by those who were consuming it. A giving heart is a thing of God. But when the giver is being abused by the king, he then loses the ability to give because the resources are all gone. Benevolence, it cannot be forced. It's a want-to thing, not a forced-to thing. This is our house. We must protect our house. We must restore order so that we can continue to be a blessing to others, and so that we can know the peace that comes from working to build a place that can provide for others, but not a place that can be stolen, not a place that can just be a campground, not a place that can be usurped. Benevolence cannot be forced. We must protect this house. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. Yeah, that's the thing. We are a giving nation, and the vast majority of Americans have a heart for people who have a bad situation where they are, and we want to give, and we are a giving nation. But the reality is, you can't force benevolence, because when you do, you usurp all the resources that we could have been benevolent with, and now we have nothing left to give. It's destruction, writ large. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.